Grace and peace to you in God, who is our refuge, for whom we wait in hope. I recently read a novel called The Children's Bible. It is a strange tale set in the near future and filled with biblical allusions. Cain and Abel, the Tower of Babel, the flood, a baby born in a barn. It's about a group of teenagers on vacation with their parents on the coast and caught in a hurricane. But as you read, you realize that there is more at stake. The teenagers' contempt for their parents goes deeper than a regular generation gap. As the storm rages, the vacation house is torn apart and floodwaters rise. The parents numb themselves with drink and drugs, and the youth flee to find safety somewhere else. The parents are pictured as adults who had a chance to avert disaster, but turned a blind eye to the climate crisis which is now upon them. The parents cannot face up to what Al Gore once called an inconvenient truth, and their children are left to survive the disaster. The author says that this novel is both dystopian and apocalyptic in terms of revealing truth, as well as describing an end time, and that it reflects our current times as well as its near future setting. It's one of those books that I wasn't sure I enjoyed reading, but it has left me thinking about it long after it's over, pondering the terrible representation of the adults who won't face the truth and the slim hope that is offered to the youth at the end. It takes courage to face hard truth, the truth of what is happening in the world, the truth of the choices we make each day, the truth of what we have lost or will never have. And facing the truth is a part of our lives of faith, modeled by prophets and by Jesus and by the Apostle Paul, among others. The biblical prophets are known for giving voice to hard truths. Truths that people around them simply don't want to see. Jeremiah was such a prophet who first predicted Judah's exile to Babylon and then, in exile, continued to describe it as God's judgment. Known as the weeping prophet, Jeremiah was very realistic about the hardship the Judeans had brought upon themselves with their bad decisions, their unwillingness to trust God or follow God's ways. Yet, in the midst of exile, in the midst of living out the consequences of sin, Jeremiah offers hope. In three chapters called the Book of Consolation, Jeremiah tells the people that God has not forgotten them. Even as they struggle and suffer in their new reality of exile, God continues to work for their salvation. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when Israel and Judah will be restored. Jeremiah promises a leader and a city which will live in righteousness with God, doing justice and living in safety. This Advent season, we are exploring promises of God, promises which we carry with us in the midst of anxiety, loss, and the struggles of life. We have faith in a God who is always with us, a Savior who meets us in bread and wine and walks with us throughout our lives. But Advent reminds us that we are also always waiting for God. Waiting for God to fulfill biblical promises of restoration and justice. Waiting for that promised feast when all creation comes together in God's mercy and love. Some days, I find it hard to pray. I have no words. I sit down to spend time in silence, and my fears and sadness overwhelm me. So I rely on the words of others to carry me. Julian of Norwich and Cuban-American theologian Kat Armas, Debbie Thomas and Anglican vicar Sam Wells, Praying Blessings by Kate Bowler. And I look to the Psalms, which give voice to lament and desolation while continually returning to trust and hope. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in God's word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. Psalm 130. I wait. And I rely on community, on this community right here, and on the wider community of Christian witness to hold me and carry me. This season, we're using materials offered by Kate Bowler, whose story of being diagnosed with cancer when a young mom teaching at Duke, I've told you all before. She guides us this month in waiting on the promises of God. The promises of truth, of compassion, of restoration, and of justice. You can read daily devotions and blessings written by Kate Bowler by looking up her website, katebowler.com/advent. Or there's a QR code in the newsletter and the flyer that we handed out. This past week, I heard an interview that Bowler did with Sam Wells, who is the vicar at St. Martin in the Fields in London, known for its music and also for its ministry with London's unhoused people. Wells spent 7 years as dean of the chapel at Duke University, and he was there when Kate and another faculty member received devastating diagnoses within a few weeks of each other. He wrote for them a beautiful piece about moving forward into a frightening unknown future. It's kind of long, and I'm going to read the whole thing because it is lovely, and it is really helping me in this season. So Sam Wells writes, "Let's take an inventory of what walking toward the storm would mean. It would mean going into your bottomless fear, naming it. Facing the worst thing that could happen, feeling the impact of that thing, and then trusting that God will meet you there. So that you go through and beyond your fear and out the other side, that's courage, trembling courage. It would mean facing up to the unspeakable waste, the dream of what your life was supposed to be, the template for what you thought God had in store for you, the good things you thought you were entitled to hope for, the goals, prospects, and options, and instead focusing on this thing you're walking toward as perhaps the only thing God wants you to concentrate on right now, and believing that God would look after the rest. That's trust. Quavering trust. It would mean entering into the convulsing grief, loss, fear of separation, of isolation, of not mattering anymore, of being snuffed out like a candle, of it seeming like you'd never been, of having no meaning to your life except what God makes for you, and believing that that's all that counts. That's faith, shuddering faith. It would mean accepting the prospect of harrowing pain, of uncertain duration, unpredictable death, and relentless intensity with no protection except the everlasting arms, and believing those arms will never let you go. That's hope, quaking hope. Friends, that sounds like where I'm living right now, and maybe some of you as well. A difficult reality in which I'm waiting for God with trembling courage, quavering trust, shuddering faith, and quaking hope. And the good news is, that's all it takes to wait for God. Trusting in the already of God's presence in every moment of our lives and in our world, while also longing for the not yet realized hope of justice and peace, compassion and mercy. In this week's devotions, Kate Bowler says that we can tell the truth about our fears for our lives and our world. We can face the truth of suffering around us because we have a truth we can stand on. In Jesus, she writes, "By coming to earth, Jesus became our firm foundation, one of love, truth, compassion, and long faithfulness. It is here we can find rest from the storm and truths we can stand in. These are the truths that help carry us through the most unthinkable of moments, truths that we can find ourselves wrapped inside of and comforted by. The days are surely coming, says the Lord. The days are coming when peace will be restored and justice will flourish for the safety of all people. The days are coming when God will fulfill all the promises of restoration and eternal life in God's love. In the meantime, we wait for the Lord with trembling courage, quavering trust, shuddering faith, and quaking hope. And it is enough. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.